Hey, check it out. You're smoking with your boy Joe Thunder. This podcast brought to you by Be Good Dispensary, our official sponsor. Bringing the latest and greatest in hip hop and the arts and cannabis culture with co-host Elvis Freshly and DJ Sin. Hey, what's going down? It's your boy Joe Thunderback once again with another exciting, spectacular, amazing episode of the Smoking Joe Thunder podcast. Got my homie Elvis Freshly in the building. Be Good Dispensaries. What's up, Elvis? Yo.
What it do?
Chilling. How you doing, bro?
You know, chilling. About to roll up this wood.
Slanging them trees in the dispensary.
You know, selling weed, bro.
All right. If you need weed, need edibles, you need tinctures, you need everything, you come to 11 West Hamden or up north.
114th and Cherokee. Across the highway from Boondocks.
What up, DJ Sin in the house?
Oh, hey. How y'all doing?
Chilling. How y'all doing today? Busy weekend?
Oh, yeah.
Busy weekend, always.
Making moves, man.
Dope. Yeah. Well, check it out, man. We got another banger for him today, man. We got a motherfucking OG, motherfucking been everywhere. This motherfucker's done like a million motherfucking things, you know what I mean? He's fucking from Puerto Rico, by way of Brooklyn, Denver, Colorado. He's a true OG, true fucking... Just, man, that'd be fucking got stories for days. We could probably do 20 podcasts with this motherfucker.
Been out here, yeah.
Big sure. Reps, WR, TM7, 156, UW, what up?
Hey, what up, guys?
How's it going, brother?
Yeah, good. How are you, bro?
Nah, just chilling. Appreciate you blessing us, man, while stopping by and coming on, dropping some knowledge on him today, because you got a lot of it.
Thank you.
You've been definitely around the block quite a few times.
True.
Whether it's a New York block or Denver, Colorado block, right?
Yeah, I've done it.
How you been, brother?
I'm good, sir.
Hey, just so this is your first time, man, kind of let them know who you are and kind of how you kind of, you know, started your little thing in New York when you were about 12, you know?
Yeah, I'm Reps. Well, my actual name is Rep, but later on, you know, with the Annunciation and when people talk with the slang, they started calling me Reps. And I'm from Brooklyn, you know. I was raised in PR when I was a kid, then I moved to New York. I'm from Bushwick, Williamsburg, and when I was a kid, I first moved to Bushwick, and my first sign of graph was looking at a Jaws and a Besta tag when we were driving from the airport into past this Kentucky Fried Chicken, and I memorized it because it was cool, you know. I never, like, saw anything like that, you know. Everything was tagged up. It was the 80s, you know.
How old were you, bro?
12.
Damn, young.
You know, and then, you know, I moved in. We lived in Bushwick for a little while, then we ended up moving to Williamsburg with my mom. And a lot of heads in the neighborhood wrote graph. This crew called AMK was the first ones that I met. All the white kids from the neighborhood, man, they were hard as hell.
Real quick, were white kids the first kids that you met that did graffiti?
Yeah, my block. Like, I met everybody, because I lived in a mixed neighborhood. So the projects on one side, I lived in the white side at first. You know, Bushwick is mostly a lot of Puerto Ricans. There are a lot of Puerto Ricans in Williamsburg, too. But the first kids that I ever met that wrote graph were the white dudes on my block, NV, Khan, and Mint. These dudes, they were doing it for the block. You know, they were getting up and shit. They knew everybody, and everybody knew them.
Been the block.
Yeah, that's called the block for that reason.
Yeah.
For years, you know. I mean, we had a lot of mixed kids in the neighborhood, but they were the three first people that I ever met that wrote graph as a kid in school and stuff, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And we lived in the same block. And they hold it down.
What was, like, your corner right there?
It was their corner. Oh, they lived on their corner.
You know what I mean? But what was it?
Oh, my corner, what, the streets?
Yeah.
I lived in Olive and Powers, but they were from Powers and Bushwick Avenue over there and Judge Street. And there's a lot of, it was like a mixed neighborhood.
He told me he grew up with Cope. You know, it's Cope?
About that? Yeah, I used to know Cope.
So he's pretty in that New York game for sure when it comes to graph.
I got you, bro.
We got it.
Yeah, we got it under control. Appreciate you, though.
It was way before Cope.
Yeah. But so, yeah, talk about growing up in New York, man.
I grew up in Williamsburg for a while, but as I started getting up, you know, into the scene and stuff, I had a cousin, you know, he wrote Nep. But back then, we used to write, you know, Rep and Snoopy and my boy Nico and shit. And we walk around with little tester cans. We didn't even have Crowd on them. You
right.
Know, find them, you know what I mean? Tester. And we walked around the daytime because we had curfews, so we go bombing on the projects and hit Bushwick Avenue then, you know what I mean? And then as we started getting older, our names got a little more familiar, and I started painting with other artists and started meeting writers from everywhere, you know what I mean?
Right. So, especially in New York City, right?
Yeah, it's a big city, man. Yo, I tell you one thing that I learned. Every neighborhood has, you know, everybody has the same names in certain neighborhoods, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And when I started Graph, you know, the only writers I knew was the kids from my block. And they had no, you know, extensions to, like, any other heads.
Outside influences.
Yeah, so everything that I had
nobody
was on
had
my
Instagram.
Block.
There was no Instagram.
Yeah, there was none of that.
No MySpace, no nada.
Yeah, so.
No 12 ounce.
We have writers, yeah. You know, that have familiar names and shit growing up. And, you know, and to my, you know, knowledge, to me, those are the first real ones, you know?
Right.
So a lot of people, when I got older, you know, it changed because now you started, like, traveling. You know, you go to Manhattan, you go to Queens, you go to the Bronx, you know, and some people had the same name and all that stuff. So it got kind of, like, weird.
That caused, like, a lot of beef?
It caused me a lot of beef.
Oh, yeah?
And I wasn't dropping my name, you know?
Not at all, right?
Nah, for nothing. You know, I don't care, like, what anybody said. You know, I was a skinny little-ass kid, you know? I didn't even speak English. I was all Hibado and shit. All I spoke Spanish, and people would tell me to say words in English and get myself in trouble.
Right, say the wrong shit.
Yeah, it was the dumbest one. I never understood it, you know what I mean? So when I started with this little, you know, dudes in my neighborhood. And I remember one day, one dude asked me, like, yo, if you want to be down with this crew, you got to go to the projects, you know? And I'm like, right. Oh, the projects. Alright, you know, like a pendejo, I go to the projects, you know? Like,
I love it, right.
Get surrounded all these black dudes and shit. Like, oh, shit, what I just got myself into?
What happened with that situation?
I got lucky. I knew the guy that they wanted me to meet. Uh-huh. I already knew him, so I didn't know that was him. You know, we call him AJ. He wrote Domain. And my man Domain was like, yo, don't ever do that again. Don't, right. You know, like, I'm going to walk you home, you know? Like, all right, cool. I was white as a ghost, you know? I'm already white looking as hell, you know?
That reminds me of, like, the little story where Pun fucking kind of surrounded Who Kid and, you know, those fools didn't know. He didn't know what the fuck to do. He thought he was about to die, you know?
Shit's the real shit then, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Especially when you're a young little kid.
Trying to prove yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, do you remember the first time you got into it over your name? Where someone tried to kind of maybe, like, you know what I mean? Say, I'm taking this name, or, you know, they try to, like, evil you or some shit.
Yeah, some kid from, like, Graham Avenue. They punked my man first. They punked my man. They tried to take his name. They ran up on him and shit. And they tried to, like, come at me and shit, you know, with the same shit. I just got lucky, though, because I have family, you know. You know, being from that area, you know, your family everywhere and shit. So one day some dude tried to run up on me, and one of my big cousins and shit came up, and he was like, dog, you ain't touching my cousin.
Right.
And Doozy didn't know that. I didn't even know he had pulled like that either. So I was, like, kind of glad, but I didn't know what was going on. I don't know if to run or just stand there. I was just froze, you know.
Hey, you know, you already know fat boys don't run. We hide.
Yeah, well, then I was skinny. I still couldn't run. I didn't know what to do. You know, when I got bigger, I got blessed, man. The minute I got weight and fools tried to flex on me, I was like, yo, I'm going to hit this fool. You know what I mean? I was like, all right. Yeah, I'm going to hit this fool, you know? And the dude ran up on me, and my size feared him, you know? He was like, nah, I ain't trying to fight you, homie. And
right.
I'm like, damn, belly, thank you.
Yeah,
you
for
know?
Real, dog. Sometimes I can't even imagine growing up in New York being a fat kid because I got tested a lot all the time from the older cats, you know what I mean? And
man,
had to go through the motions.
You know, like, the problem with me was I had red hair, you know? So the point of the red hair thing. So when I go to school, they're like, yo, that kid Rep got red hair. So it just be me and my brother, so if they try to punk my brother fight, you know what I mean? Yeah. He ain't give a fuck. He ain't know, so, you know what I mean? Like, my brother would just put his hands up. Me, I had to think twice, you know? You have five kids on top of you. You get a little nervous. And so it was just two kids. So my mom started getting scared, you know what I mean? So I even dyed my hair once, you know, because I didn't want to deal with the shit. I remember these fools ran up on me. I'm on my bike, right?
Uh-huh.
These fools ran up to me like, yo, you know Rep? And I got black hair, you know? I'm all ghosty. Look like a fucking goth kid, you know? Like, nah, dog, I don't know. Like, you know, like, they're like 50 heads, I swear to God.
Jeez.
I get to my mom's like, yo, mommy, take my bike. She's like, where you going? I'm like, I'm going to go hide in the roof. You know, like, I'm going to see what the hell these niggas are looking for. I got lucky, too. They were deep. And some idiot was like, yeah, that's fool Rep dyed his hair black. And I'm like, damn, snitch. Like, on the roof, you know? Like, oh.
They got you.
But I guess it changed, though, because, you know, I went from being like, it wasn't that I was scared, I just never had. Come from Puerto Rico. Everybody loves each other and shit. Yeah. I live in a house where everybody loves me. Go to school, everybody knows me. And then move to the city, and it changes. I didn't know, you know, numbers change everything too, you know? It was a lot more hood.
Right.
That I could ever say that I wanted to live in those ages, you know? It's like, you know, the early 80s, like 87, you know? It was, like, really hard, you know what I mean? And my mom was kind of a thug. My mom wasn't like, oh, you know, oh, suck it up. My mom was like, you go fuck him up. And we come home with a beating, I'm going to beat your ass. Yeah, even if I won the fight, I still had to take a beating. My mom had, I guess it was like freaking training, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, getting ready.
Yeah, so when, I swear, one thing that I know for a fact, man, and this is swear to man, I'm so blessed for that. Nobody's ever hit me harder than my mom. So when I got older and I started fighting, and these fools put their hands on me, and I'd be like, damn, mommy hits harder than you and shit, you know? So that little butterfly in my stomach started going away and shit. So fools would come up to me and shit. I have friends now, so if I had a box, they would stand next to me. And dudes thought I was scared. So now I had this thing, like, yeah, I look scared. And when homie get close, just pop them, you know? Half of the times, you pop them good, them fools don't even come back.
They ain't trying to
Not
fight.
At all.
Nah, but then, you know, at that time, you know, I hit one, I had four other and shit. Yeah, one day I was walking home, right? And I got my man Tech MOB and my man Ness TCF. And we're walking, and these dudes run up on us. And they ain't say nothing. So we kept walking and shit, and I'm like, damn, this is, don't feel good, but like, let's walk where my uncle's at. My man Choco and Stags in front of Stags' girl's crib. These are all graph writers and shit. And we walk up to them niggas and shit, and I'm like, yo, pa, like, yo, Choco, I think these niggas are following me. And he like, yo, don't worry about it. And my uncle Choco, he's a crazy dude, man. You know, pendejo, that fool is a thug. Yo, the dude, 16 years old, is a monster, is a beast, you know? He's a really good dude now, but back then, yo, he was a beast. So these dudes run up on us, pull out razors, you know? And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, what are we supposed to do? And Choco's like, yo, man up, homie. You punch them if they touch you. They didn't do anything because Choco's crazy. They're like, oh, it's Choco. And Choco kept hiding me behind them. They were looking for me. They weren't looking. The situation was, this dude met me once, and he asked to be down this crew. So my man was down with it. So I asked him, I was like, yo, I know this dude. I want to be down with the crew. But my mans didn't know that I actually traveled and wrote graffiti with other writers. They were stuck on the block. You know, these niggas wrote on their block, that's it. I was going out, you know what I mean? Had, you know, 10, 12 cans, and we go bomb hop on the train and go
rock
bomb
some shit for real, yeah.
And then we were doing it then, you know what I mean? It was a lot more fun than now, you know? My mom kicked me out all the time. I was like, the biggest POS on the block. I had beef with everybody. My mouth got me in so much shit. I didn't know English, so I don't even know how the fuck I got myself into this shit, you know what I mean? But shit got raw and shit, these niggas and shit, they would run up on me. You know, at first I was like, you know, I can handle it, and then that shit, you know, fools was like tagging everywhere in my neighborhood, trying to catch me, but after a while I got tired of it, you know what I mean? I got asthma, so if I'm gonna get fucked up, I'm gonna get fucked up. I'm not running and shit, I'll box the nigga, you know?
Right.
So fuck it, you know what I mean? So that's how it was, so like they were Choco and shit, Choco's like, man up, you know what I mean? He's like, you ain't no pussy, nigga. I got you. And I'm like, yeah, I ain't saying pussy, nigga, but there's 15 of these niggas. There's five of us with a girl. And he was like, well, the girl got a she had like a broom. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, yeah, it's going to help so much. You know, these fools. And I've already been shanked before, so I don't like that feeling. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess Choco talked to them, and they backed up. So then we bounced and shit. We went out and shit. So those fools waited until I was dolo, and they ran up on me. You know, and they had bats and shit. I didn't know what to do. I don't know if I wanted to run or whatever I did. So I'm like, fuck it. They're going to fuck me up. You know, they got bats. I ain't going to run that far, you know. My inhaler ain't going to get me out, you know. So I boxed. And nobody hit me with a bat.
Damn.
But then I realized that all these niggas that was with me, they were still behind me. So I got lucky and shit. They didn't leave me alone. Yeah. So I felt blessed, you know what I mean? Like, my motherfuckers started punching them, see how they like it and shit. So I got more brave. So I started fighting, you know. And then the dudes from my block, when I got home, I told them, I was like, yo, these fools ran up on me. And they were like, blah, blah, and this shit happened with Choco. And I was like, oh, my God, dude, this shit is not good, you know? Like, so I asked some dudes, I was like, yo, can you help me out with this shit? And I don't want to say names because I ain't trying to give props to any of these dicks, you know?
Yeah.
And my man said, you know, my man Min, he was like, yo, I got you, you know? If they come here, you know, my man CH was there, you know, Khan and MV, and it's like, if they come, yo, these white dudes, man, I don't give a fuck. Anybody says they were the most downest niggas I ever met. These dudes come like the next day over, comes Mobb Deep and shit. This dude called Shore and all them niggas, they're like, we were all just standing in there. I felt cornered, you know what I mean? And these like five dudes had my back, you know, and all of a sudden niggas from the whole block came out, you know what I mean? Like they had old people and shit. My man Vinny, yo, just. So fear went away. After that, I didn't give a fuck. So I figured if I could make it to the block, I'm going to survive this shit, you know?
Right.
But the thing was that after that day, those niggas never came back to the block because these dudes were down and shit.
Yeah.
So I felt like, you know, they gave me more heart, you know what I mean? It wasn't about them having my back. It's for the fact that I wasn't standing alone at that moment and
shit. Right, you had a community behind you. Yeah.
And them niggas were scared. So if they were scared, why I'm scared, you know what I mean? Like, yo, these dudes and shit, there were more numbers of them. And it was crazy. So my mom was like, yo, you know what, puppy? Pack up your shit. You're going to your titi's house. You know, like, yo, one day she even dipped me and sent me to PR because she didn't know how to fucking handle it. You know what I mean? And that's how I got with that whole situation that my mom gave me the boot. She's like, nah, I can't have you no more, homie. You, like, causing all these problems. And I was like, mom, it's not me. And in reality, partially was my fault, right. You know? Out of mouth. I just wanted to get a rep, you know what I mean?
That was the thing.
Right? I wanted a rep and shit. I wanted people to recognize me and shit. I wanted to be like somebody else. I watched them with their rep. I want my rep, you know what I mean? And it stuck with my name. So after years of shit, this dude goes and tells this big-ass fucking Dominican nigga and shit, like, yo, your name is Rep. I try to take my name, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I never met the cat, but he was writing it. So my uncle would slash his shit, and then I was scared at first with the beef and all that shit. And after a while, I said, fuck it, you know what I mean? I'll be a night owl. Yeah. And we go at night and cross all this shit while niggas are sleeping, you know what I mean? Right. Cross all shit. So finally, my uncle was like, yo, we're going to go fight this motherfucker.
You got to go handle this.
I think it's like 25, nigga. I'm 15. You know, I'm like, I'm like 100 fight wet. You know what I mean? My cousin waited more than me, I think, in those days and shit. You know what I mean? And
shout out Messin.
Yeah, Messin. What up, puppy? And my uncle brings me there, so I'm like standing there. I'm like nervous. I'm like, yo, these wild selves on their block. And my uncle's like, yo, you gonna fight this nigga? And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. I'm gonna do what I gotta do. And nigga came up, my uncle's like, damn, that nigga big, son. like, shit, nigga, don't tell me that. I'm ready to run
You're
home.
15, 25.
And nigga came up, tried to flex. My uncle's like, fuck you touching my nephew, nigga. Put his hands up, nigga got shook. And nobody had a fight. This nigga had his little gay-ass snake. My uncle slapped it out of his hand, you know, he was like. And then I was looking at my uncle like he was God. One of those little rubber snakes, remember those?
Oh.
He was like, yeah, like trying to fuck with niggas. Like, he had something going, you know? And my uncle was like, yo. He's like, ain't nobody touching him. So, like, my heart stopped because I was scared. And I was like, damn, they're going to fuck Choco up. This nigga was big, you know. Choco told this nigga, like, yo, you need to fucking get the fuck out of my life. No fuck with my family. I was ready to dip, you know what I mean? I was like, damn. A nigga just, we walked home, and he was like, yo, I'm going to give you props for having the heart to walk with me. So I was like, I would have never thought you would have walked with me. And I was like, yo, I think you're like invincible and shit. You're like a superhero, you know? In my eyes, you're like fucking God.
Sound gangster as fuck, shit.
Yeah, and the dude had mad problems. The thing with Choco was that when I met Choco, he had his problems and shit. And my mom looked out for him. And, you know, he used to stay with us. And he made sure I go to school because I had all that problems and shit. And the nigga, he didn't give a fuck who it was. It was crazy, though, because Choco was very friendly. Everybody loved Choco. Like, oh, that's Choco. What's up, Choco? Yeah. You know? The dude was legit. Like, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't make it this far. As far as age-wise, I would have been dead a long time ago. I've been shot at, been shot, been stabbed. I've been stabbed at, you know, like.
Was that in New York?
Yeah, in Brooklyn. Yeah. Bushwick, Williamsburg, Southside, all these places, man. It had moments.
You have been shot?
Yeah, my leg.
You can tell by his voice, too. He's been, like, you tell, like, he's been through the Brooklyn shit.
That what?
My bad. Like, you can tell he's been through the New York. Everything he's saying. New York style, like.
Yeah, the real
shit was not fun either.
Like,
I was a little kid.
How did that happen? If you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
All right, so yo, this is the most funniest shit, too.
Talking to Mike a little bit.
So I have beef with these cats, right? I don't know them, but I have beef with them. It had to be in relations to my neighborhood. So AMK had beef with this crew, and I was one of them now, you know what I mean? So I was part of the AMK crew.
Roll with it. I said you said you're part of them, so you roll with it.
Yeah, so I have to deal with their beef, too, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even though I was cool with a lot of people, but I was cool with AMK before anybody because of my block. Yo, believe me, I had beef in school. Yo, they would break into my school and handle it. These niggas was down, you know what I mean? I don't understand how they, like, niggas, nobody fuck with these dudes, you know what I mean? They were cool. They had their moments, but they fucking was down, you know? So I'm on the G train, and these two dudes run up on me. I don't know them.
Right.
And when he came up to me, he's like, yo, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what you're saying. Like, I don't know. He's like, you AMK? And I said, yeah, biggest mistake at that moment.
Right.
So the fucking dude run up on me. So I swung, and I started running under the stairs because they pull out a heater. And I didn't know what to do. Okay. And so I ran. And when I got down the stairs, I hopped the turnstile, and I ran the stairs again. This is on the G train, and the dude's shooting. So it wasn't a straight bullet that hit my leg. It was the bullet that ricocheted off the wall that hit my leg. Oh, so I fell on the tracks. So they thought they shot me, so they ran.
Did it go through or did
no,
it
No, it just stuck on the bone. It was like a 25. It wasn't a big bullet. But it was from a distance. I was out. I'm telling you. I was ghost. I wasn't standing there to get a fucking shot. A big ass. The dude could have fucked me up. He's like six fucking feet tall. Yeah. And it ricocheted, hit my leg, and I got scared. So I ran, and I fell on the track. So they thought they shot me, so they ran. So I stayed down for a minute.
On the track.
Yeah, so I was on the track, and I stayed down for a minute. And I'm like, fuck, man, that's not good. And these motherfuckers are still there or whatever, but they weren't. So I got up. I didn't even notice that I got hit until my leg started leaking, and it got hot, and it started burning.
Whoa.
So I knew this, like, Polish girl that I knew, and I told her, like, yo, something happened. Can you come help me? And she came and helped me. And it was funny as shit. She brought, like, a Kotex and this thing, and she stuck it on my leg, put my pants down so I don't bleed on my leg. But when she did that, I saw that, I passed out. You know, like, what the fuck? It's all bloody.
Oh, damn. You passed out.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen that shit before. And I had to go to a friend of mine's from Queens that had my back. And, you know, I was like, because I was scared of going to Brooklyn because that's where they're from. And I was like, yo, I got a situation. So we took these tweezers and pulled it out and cracked
Holy
my bone.
Holy shit. You didn't even go to the hospital.
Nah, I was on the run. So. That's
it, dude.
Yeah, and they pulled it out. And then I passed out again. Like, cause I got scared. Started
Was it like the movies
little.
With the bottle of whiskey and shit? Yeah, they pour that like, shit on there and just fucking yank
we
it
were
out.
Like some That's fucking like stupid ass niggas. I don't know. I should have went to the hospital. I don't know. I just didn't want to get in more trouble than I was already
right.
in.
Because they're going to ask White where you got shot.
My mommy would have found out.
Like,
I would have got more trouble.
It up, obviously.
Oh, yeah. And I ended up going to one of those doctors later on with my homie's mom because he was like worried because it was like swollen, you know? And they were like, you know, so. All so they did was like they spray something on it and put a gauze on it and sent me home and shit. You know, it wasn't like
some Robitussin.
Yeah, they didn't ask me what it was. That. You know what I mean?
Wow. Pour some Robitussin on it.
Like, so like he got bit by a spider.
Right. Oh yeah, I didn't even know what to tell him. It just hurt. You know what I mean? And I was already. I lived in Staten Island.
You were just full of adrenaline that night. Like you just weren't.
Yeah, dude,
shit.
I didn't know what to do. Yeah, dude, yeah. It wasn't even that I was scared. I thought I was Superman after that shit. You know what I mean?
That's wild.
It's like in my head, if I see these dudes, blah blah blah. You know.
It's on.
So you got shot. Again, after that happened, is that
a fragment of a bullet?
Got shot at and you've gotten shot.
Oh, yeah, so I got shot at a lot.
Wow.
My front door had bullet holes. That's why my mom didn't want to like live there. Like sometimes I wasn't even there. They were shooting, let me know that they're coming for me. You know, maybe like little bullets stuck on the
door.
And this
was
like
in the
90s. It was like 87 to like 89. Like by 90, everything kind of changed. And the thing was, I couldn't tell people, you know what I mean? Because I didn't know how to even approach people. I was afraid that people found out I was in this kind of trouble and they wouldn't even want to be my homies, you know what I mean? So then, you know, Choco was locked up. So that was problem one, you know what I mean? My man.
Because he was the guy that was protecting
Dude, the thing was that he lived in jail and visited us in the streets. Mm. And those days he was back and forth. And like, dude, that guy didn't even know how much he meant to me when this shit comes down.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Sure.
But that time I went and told my man Domain what happened, you know, Domain. And okay. And he told me, ain't nobody fucking with you, homie. And I was like, yo, it's too late now. He's like, nah. So I guess the situation went crazy, and my man Domain caught him and beat his ass. I mean, bad. Really? The dude never even came my way ever again. And I couldn't believe it. My man had my back like that, too. You know, like, every time I tell somebody I had a problem and shit, it was always a bigger problem. It's like, oh, what you did to do this? He didn't even ask me. He just said, ain't nobody touching you no more. So that nigga told me, like, yo, if niggas come in, you come to the projects. And I was like, yeah, that didn't work out that first time, you know? But I guess, you know, everybody started knowing me because of Choco, my Uncle Bess, rest in peace. And it was crazy. You know, I'm not even embarrassed to say shit. You know, I don't care. You know, anybody put their hands on me now, I don't back down on nobody. I got no fear in my heart now. It was just coming from Puerto Rico and being blessed, you know? You have a grandpa, you had a prom crab, abuelo, yeah. Problem solved. I don't even have an abuelo and shit. I can't even go to my family. My uncle would like betray me for other niggas because of my drama was so hectic. Wow. He couldn't even have my back. So I got blessed that my man Choco was there. And shit was crazy. I could tell you one day going to movies with a girl, niggas ran up on me. And I got to look out for my girl. And my girl has to look out for me. It was crazy. I mean, I got lucky that I picked out a real thugged out girl.
Yeah.
This girl named Dale.
Thanks to bitch.
Yo, she was down. Niggas ran up on me. My little sister, Cindy, and shit. I got into a situation. I got stabbed.
Got stabbed.
And I had stitches, and my sister was walking with me, and niggas ran up on me. My little sister in front of me. Like, nobody touching my brother and shit.
Damn.
So I had to back out. I was like, yo, dog, it's not me. Yo, this is my sister. Come on, let's just let her be. And I remember, because when I healed and shit, the first thing I went was the homie's hat. I was like, yo, what's up now, homie? And his sister was there, and I asked her, I was like, yo, Ma, can you please go inside? I need to talk to your brother and shit. And I don't think the nigga would think that I would walk on his block, you know what I mean? I didn't give a fuck. That was my little sister. And that was the first time I found out that I could hit really hard because my sister. Yo, all I could see was I told homeboy, and he was trying to, like, step up. But when he saw that I was coming at him and shit, he was trying to, like, I guess get balanced because he thought I was going to rush him. I just took a razor and cut him and shit. See how he likes that shit, you know? Get his stitches and see how you fucking like it. I didn't even ran. I walk away, put the razor back in my pocket and walk home and shit. I told my sis, we got him, you know? We got him. And she was like, all right. She's like, I ain't going outside for like a month. You no know? Like, you crazy, well, nigga.
It's
you
definitely
know?
A different world in Brooklyn now. Like,
it's yeah, nah, like, shit is all hippie as fuck.
It's all hippie as fuck.
Yeah, I walk it all the time now. I got my boy Eyesore a couple of years back. He's one of my best friends. We went and met in New York, and we were hanging out there and shit, walking mornings, catching tags. There weren't even people and shit, walking through the project. I was showing them the block I grew up. I even walked through where the hood was, you know, and niggas didn't even like me. Like, yeah, this is a niggas try to kill me here, you know, over there too. And we walked it with my son. I have a 26-year-old son in New York. Okay. And we were walking it. And my son's like me and shit. Like, when he was little, I felt like life was so aggressive that I was aggressive with him, you know what I mean? I told that nigga that. I wouldn't even let that nigga cry, even though it break my heart when he would leave and I would hide it from him. I would tell that nigga, that's for pussy shit. Nigga, don't do that shit, you know? And I'm glad I got two more sons and they live out here in Colorado and I got to raise them right because when I was in Brooklyn, I don't know what right was, you know what I mean? Because yeah. I didn't want him to deal with the shit that I had. I used to tell that nigga, like, yo, we got red hair, nigga, we special. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't ever be a sucker. Punch a nigga in the mouth.
All your sons have red hair?
Yeah. Oh, no, good. The big one.
Okay.
The Asian ones?
Yeah.
No. Brown and black.
So the... So what made you come out to Colorado then? Or when did you move?
Oh, my God. That was the even worse one. So, you know, 9/11 happened. Yeah. And I was depressed. I lost friends and shit. I was there and all that shit happened.
Like,
yeah, yeah. Well, wow. I lost four friends that night and so other sad. Ones that committed, you know, because they lost loved ones and shit.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that, bro.
So chill. At that same time, the lady that... took care of me when I was a kid. She had cancer, so she passed away right after that. And then my best friend killed herself a month later. Damn. So my sister was moving here. So
was she one of the ones? Did she have family that passed away?
Nah, it was some weird shit. Her name is Shanoa, dope ass girl. It was weird. So I had a girl. My girl broke up with me, and I went through that depression when your first love type crap. And I was living with her, and she left. So Shanoa was my bartender.
Okay.
So I didn't talk to her for a minute. So one day she's like, yo, come to the bar. I'm going to talk to you. I quit my job. I was getting unemployment. I went to the stupid depression. I don't know why I let it happen or why it got the best of me.
It's like being human is having depression.
But I called my real mom and all that shit was happening. I didn't know how to tell her about it. So I told her that, like, yo, can I stay with you for a few weeks? I don't know what to do. And my mom told me she had no space. I mean, she meant she had no space. You know what I mean? The house was crowded. So I took it in a different level, you know what I mean? Because later on in life, I talked to her about it. She apologized. I didn't want to, like, involve her with my drama. And so I called my sister. And I was like, nobody wants me here. And she's like, well, I want you. And she's come home with me then, you know what I mean? So I was like, all right. So I packed up my shit, moved out here, you know what I mean? I mean, it's a little more complicated.
Oh, you said your sister was here.
Yeah, that's the lady that took me in, the one that adopted me.
Yeah.
It's her daughter. Okay. So she had two daughters, Lisa and Stephanie. Stephanie is like my guardian. She became the next choker with no violence, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That girl would never let bad things happen to me. And we had rules, you know what I mean? Like, we go to a bar, and I tell her, I was like, yo, we get into a beef, five niggas, I got you, you know what I mean? After five niggas grab a hand, we run to get out of there, you know what I mean? I don't want nothing bad happening to you because people get mad at me at this shit. Wow. You know, we got lucky, never have. You know, one time she had an issue, and I came to rescue, and I have her back because I don't care who anybody is. When it comes to family, everybody's pussy to me. I don't give a fuck of guns. I ain't scared of nothing. When it comes to family, yo, my sister would cry and tell me that her boyfriend did that. I quietly leave because my mom would lock me in the house, you know what I mean? I go beat his ass. And then give her a pound, you know what I mean? They listen to, like, Keith Sweat. I'm like, yeah, fuck that nigga, you know? There's other niggas out there, you know what I mean?
Keith Sweat, yeah.
That was the shit then, you know what I mean? But it's my sister's. I didn't care what it was. Like, my mom didn't want me to know him because it wasn't that I wanted to be a thug and shit. My mom never understood that when we were kids, we were kind of abused, you know. My stepfather used to beat my mom, and I was a kid, and I couldn't fight him and shit, you know what I mean? I even wrapped myself around my mom once so he could stop hitting her, and he beat me too and shit, you know what I mean? So when I got big in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm going to fuck these niggas up. So that shit just like became a thing. So the only way to do that was becoming a thug and shit, not knowing it was a bad thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I saw these niggas wasn't scared, so I want to be like them. Yeah. You know what I mean? My mom could have broke it down to me.
Yeah.
That was the thing that the miscommunication we had. She was from Bushwick. She's from the 70s. She dealt with the racism part of it.
Yeah.
She could have, you know, enlightened me with that shit. She just let me deal with that shit on my own and shit. The only guardian I had was a fucking guy that was 3 years older than me, Choco, you know?
Yeah.
And he would have explained it to me, but I didn't see it the way he see it, you know? Because
he
wasn't scared. Like, he was like a really bad dude, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And not like he was a bad dude, because he really was a good dude. He's just a badass and shit.
But he went through a lot.
He's had heart like a motherfucker.
Yo, that nigga is
not scared, you know. Cause
never, I never met anybody like. There was another dude too, Dr. Love. He passed away. He got killed. A little trying. His name was Dr. Love for a reason. He tried to stop an altercation between two lovers, and dude got mad, shot him, and killed him. You know what I mean?
Damn.
So the crazy thing about Dr. Love, though, and no disrespect, because even Hector Lavoe was a drug addict. And he's one of my fucking legends and shit.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I've never met any crackhead in my life that was as legit as this brother and shit. This motherfucker would give his life for me, my sisters, and my mom. And we were strangers to this dude. We wasn't even familiar. And this dude would look out for, you know what I mean? The dude was one of the illest, you know. So he passed away. It took a big part of Brooklyn from me because that, to me, in my eyes, those two dudes was what Brooklyn was about, you know what I mean? Because
right.
That dude, I mean, some dude went walked. I don't even know what the hell shit happened. This dude walked up to me. My man was in front of him like, yo. Started doing this bird thing to him. You want to fly like a bird? It's like, whoa, is that a thug word? You know, like, and the homeboy's like, nah, I'm good. You know what I mean? So Dr. Love would say some crazy shit. You know what I mean? But yo, I'm telling you, the shit in Brooklyn back then. I mean, I know people that never even had problems because they grew up on that. You know what I mean? We don't come from that. I don't know how my brother was like into it because you go up to my bro and that nigga want to fight. You know what I mean? Me, I had to think twice. I'm like, damn, is that gonna hurt? You know, like I like, yeah. Right. It's like, damn, if mommy finds out, so I be like, but when I got older, all you had to do is say the word and shit. We handle it. That was Brooklyn then, you know.
Yeah. During those days, were you ever around any of the hip hop? Because I mean, that shit was thriving right there in '89 and
'90. Oh, I had Lord Digger was one of my best homies, and I met a lot of artists with him. I have a family member that was part of the Lyricist Lounge.
Okay.
So we used to go to the shows to check him out. I mean, I've been to all shows, man. I don't know if you remember Stronghold. That was like Percy P.
Stronghold, yeah.
C-Race Walls.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Mortal Technique. We used to go to their shows, you know, go to all the SOBs. One of my homies back then had two brothers that were rappers and shit. And I didn't look in Canarsie then. And I used to, you know, tag with them, so I would, like, run into them all the time, like Ill Bill, Necro and shit. Mm-hmm. And this is before I even knew, like, what really hip-hop was, you know what I mean? But hey, dope dudes.
People know about Necro.
Everybody knows about Necro, homie. It's Colorado, hey, college
not
town.
Not too many people really do.
I don't know. Every time I hear it on the radio out here, it's
Vinny
not like
Paz,
in the 90s.
Ill Bill, I don't know. Not too many people know.
Dope stuff.
Ill Bill's pretty freaking sick if I know. But I grew up in Lord Digger, so I knew Master Ace. You remember when I did the Master Ace show?
Yeah, Master Ace is fresh, for sure.
That's fucking...
We brought him here, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
You did a couple shows at the Snake Pit.
Yeah. And that was because my homie knew him and shit. And so I linked up with him. There's some other dudes. Remember the 2-Max, when we were doing the 2-Max stuff?
He dropped his verse in Sam with fucking Lorenzo for
Lorenzo's
mixtape.
I got a lot of love on that song. He did that song with Shoe.
Yeah,
shit was hard.
We recorded that shit at Selector Sam's right there in Capitol.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I brought a couple of heads out here when I started meeting them. It's a lot of rappers that I met growing up. I mean, they used to go to shows and shit, you know. I even did a little thing, and when I used to do flyers and pop flyers in the city and shit for shows, I get to go to shows for free, so it was cool, you know, and I had no bread. But then I started hustling. I just go to shows. I mean, my favorite show...
I was just about to ask. Maybe I know if you've been to a million shows in the 80s,
but
90s.
But it's crazy, though. One of my favorite shows, Lords of Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know who they are. You know, they come here. To me, that was, like, solid, like, hip-hop for me in that time. they were graph, you know, involved and all that stuff. So, you know, later on, I ran into Caves here, you know, they put me down their crew, you know, so I rep LOB, and it was the Everlast, Lords of Brooklyn at Cervantes.
Right.
And it was a dope show. I mean, so I was excited, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people, because, you know, my man Nate, he knows everybody. So.
He knows everyone. He has every record in the world.
Yeah, so I get to hang out and meet everybody.
Anytime you post something, he has a fact for you.
Yeah, it was crazy, because one show, we went to see when that, what's his name? He passed away, too.
Guru?
Nah, I already knew Guru from the neighborhood. Tribe Called Quest. Remember he came and did that show on Cervantes?
Are you talking about when it was like five, one of Fife's last fucking shows?
Yeah, like when he came in right before he passed?
Yeah.
So I got to talk to him about basketball that I don't know nothing about.
You got to talk to Fife?
Yeah, we were all hanging out in the room.
And you knew Guru?
No, I met Guru.
Guru's one of my favorites. I love him.
Yeah, he has this track called Just to Get a Rep, and it's like my theme song and shit.
Theme song, yeah.
And everybody, like, I make stickers of it and shit. Everybody knows, because I used to be a stick-up kid. When I stopped being scared, I started robbing people and shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to get a job there, you know. I mean, McDonald's wouldn't hire me. Think about it.
Yeah.
So we go rob niggas in Greenpoint. And
were you one of those cats that sit out the concert?
Oh no, dude. I was smarter than that. So when I became like a thuggish kind of kid, we used to watch fools get robbed, and then at the end rob that fool. You know what
there
I mean?
You go.
And then go clubbing. Hoping we don't run into homeboy. You know what I mean? Because it's a small world.
Right.
The club scene is not as big. And I had some friends that were rowdy and shit. You know. And I wasn't broke anymore, though. I used to help, but my mom find out, she would have killed me. I used to buy my sister kicks. As a matter of fact, some dude robbed my sister's pager, right? And I found out who he was, so I robbed his sister's pager, and I got her number.
You're sick.
That's gangster.
And she fucking called me. I don't even know how that worked out.
She called you.
She called me, like she wanted to hang out. I told her, I said, I'll give it back to you, but I want your brother to come get it, you know what I mean? Not thinking that nigga's probably crazier than me, but I did it anyway. So I brought the pager back, so the nigga never came back to, you know what I mean? And that's how I got her number. I apologize. I'm trying to be a gentleman, you know?
Yeah.
So I asked her what her name was. So every time I walked through her neighborhood, I tag it up. I put it up everywhere. So after all, she thought I was cute, you know what I mean? You know, I never met her brother because I know he would have killed me. So I kept the distance. I told her to come to my block. But she's safe, you know?
So you never took her out on a date?
Yeah, I'd done some dumb shit. There was this one thing that people were like, you know, we rob people and shit. And, you know, I started feeling guilty when I started getting older because, you know, I started going to college and I started getting smarter and it bothered me, you know. We robbed this lady once. I didn't know who she was. I found out later on that she lived in our neighborhood and I felt like I owe her. So one day I knocked on her door and I apologized to her. And I got older and shit. I was working in the city and I had money and I brought her some bread. And I wanted to apologize. I felt bad. And I told her that I was on drugs and shit. So I made a lot of mistakes and she forgave me, you know?
Wow.
But.
And how many years later was that?
Not even two. It was 2 years. It bothered me. Yeah. I lost sleep over this shit. Yo, I've jigged fools and shit and that shit don't bother me. But that lady's face and she was scared thought it made me think about my mom, you know?
Yeah.
So it gave me that guilty conscience, so I started changing. Like, when I started going to college, I started meeting like people from other neighborhoods. I didn't even know there was other worlds.
But that's just you knew who she was? Is that why?
Well, so what happened was, it was late at night, she got off the train, we ran up on her, we took her shit, and she ran. I saw her face.
Oh, so you saw it and you knew, got her, had her wallet.
So one day I'm sitting on my stoop in front of my mom's house. I didn't live there. Yeah. But that's the block. That's where I hanged out at. And nobody, you know, my mom tossed me like, you know. So I was chilling on the stoop and was chilling. She passed. Gave me butterflies, you know. I'm like, fuck, I'm a fucking loser, you know. And then I followed her. And I followed her home. And I recognized who she was. And I'm like, damn, that's fucked up, you know. So I told my boss, like, yo, can I tell you something? And he was like, what's up? I was like, yo, when I was younger, you know, I didn't know how to make money and shit. So I did some dumb shit. What's your advice? You know, and he was like, yo, fix it. You know, and I was like, fuck it, I'll fix it. He was like, no, you're gonna fix it. I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. And then I was like, when you get paid on Friday, I want you to knock on her door, explain what happened, and apologize to her. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna do it and shit. And remember, because I went Monday, Friday happened Friday. I went Monday, I went crying to this nigga, I was like, oh my God, she hugged me. I was like, I feel so bad, dude. I remember anytime we saw her, I would walk her home. I help her push her cart. You know, everybody got carts for grocery. Push her, walk her, help her up the stairs, you know. I felt bad, like, yo. Yeah, I could have robbed somebody my age or somebody, you know. I could have made it, like, but I was so fucking thirsty, you know what I mean? And it was in, like, as cool as I wanted to be, you know what I mean? Then shit started hitting me, you know what I mean? I didn't like when I was a victim when I was a kid, and then I became a bully too, so I started changing that. I remember one day I was walking to my homie's brother to school because he was being bullied and shit, you know? So my homie wasn't my homie, but I knew that was his brother, so I told dudes, like, yo, get the fuck away from little man, you know what I mean? You got a problem with him, you got a problem with me, dog? And he's like, nah, rep, you good. I'm like, hey, homie. And then I go home and I'm sitting in the stoop and we're chilling, smoking an L. And dude comes up, like, yo, can I talk to you? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I don't know if the dude likes me or not, you know, what the fuck you want to say. So we never had eye contact. But, you know, went to school with this nigga my whole life, never said a word to me. He gave me a pound. He was like, yo, thank you about my brother and shit. And I was like, cool, you know, it's what you got to do. You got to protect the kids, you know. And he was like, nah, dude, it's how you did it. You know, you told him that you were his brother. He told me exactly what you said. And I was like, yeah, you all my brothers, homies, our block, you know what I mean? And he was like, yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'm like, cool. So I'm like, damn. Everybody's like, yo, that nigga just said hi to you. It's like, nobody even care about, he gave me a pound. They were like, he said hi to me. Like, dog, he didn't say hi. He said, what up? You know, I was like, I thought, what up, man? We're going to box and shit. Yeah. I don't know, you know. It was cool. So I started changing my ways. And so the thing with Graf, though, that Graf didn't became like my enemy. Graf became my friend now, because now as I got older, I started getting better. Right. I started traveling more. So I started meeting other artists, like, there were a lot of artists now, you know what I mean? That's what I said. But back then, we were just taggers, you know? And I started traveling. I went to Miami, you know? I went from the Bronx to, like, California, you know, Denver, Albuquerque, and I painted with everybody, you know? Georgia, Chicago. I mean, I done it, you know what I mean? And the thing was that when I did it, there was no internet.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
It was pen pals. All we did was traded photos and stuff. And I never even gave my photos to people because I didn't think I was that good.
Yeah.
I would sneak one or two. You know what I mean?
Right.
You and they would hit me up and ask me, yo, that's you. I'm like, yo, that's tight. And I'm like, all right. And then, you know, I end up booking a flight to Chicago. You know, I had to go work there anyway. I was doing the gift shows.
Okay.
And I would travel and meet this dude. You know, I met my man Denz. You know, and you over here. And then I met my other homies. You know, I went to California and painted. I just messed out of meeting people and stuff, you know, later on and stuff. I did paint it with Cope, but I don't fuck with the nigga now, just in case you didn't know. And he helped me out a lot in those days and shit. But once I moved here, life changed, you know, because I'm not in the Bronx now.
Right. It's a whole different Brooklyn. Whole different steez.
And how old were you when you moved here?
About 20 years ago.
Okay.
And what happened when I moved here, when I moved here, graffiti was more humble than back home. So when you meet people here, they don't always stay pleasant, but when you meet them, they're pleasant and shit. So I started humbling up a lot more, so I started being more friendly. And then I started adapting to the fact that, you know, they're going to be writers with the same names from the East Coast and the Midwest to the West Coast. And I started respecting people's space.
Yeah.
You know, because now I live here, you know what I mean? When I first came here, I used to fight every day with stupid people over stupid shit. My man Nate got his record scratched. I had to box the dude, you know, because Nate's crying because he wasn't going to fight, you know what I mean? Not saying anything bad about him because that dude's big as fuck, but I would box, you know what I mean? So I went from boxing to, like, going to dinner with fools and shit, you know what I mean? Like, and painting. Like, I was painting. When I first moved here, I painted a lot.
Yeah.
But then I have a family. And I never had that before, so that changed my whole vibe in life, you know what I mean? So I still paint, but, you know, I get depressed and I go paint a train or I get stressed, you know, I paint trains. I don't even put flicks online because I think that shit's whack now, you know? So out of everything that I paint...
What'd you say? You
put because most pictures, people are here, pictures. They put pictures, and they just post them the minute they're done. I don't want to do that shit. So that's how they do it now, you know? Me, I'm just glad I got to paint a train or two or five, you know what I mean? And I do them, you know what I mean? I do, you know, people think that I just do legal graph because that's all I post.
Right.
I don't need people to know my business, you see? The first time I came out here... I go to this graffiti store. They let me paint this panel. I paint it. This dude comes up with a mass appeal. And it's like, yo, can you sign it? And I sign it. And he shows me his badge. He's like, yo, I'm Roy Ball. And I was like, I just want you to know I know you. And I'm like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. You know, like, fuck you telling me? He was like, And I was like, fuck, this nigga just came up to me like that.
Hey, for those that don't know, explain who he is.
Roybal was, I guess, the Vandal Squad police at the time.
He's like the main detective for the graffiti.
So when I first moved here, I painted with that kid Guru. Remember Guru?
Yep.
And that kid would get up. So him and his girlfriend, Tina, we just drive and go bombing. I didn't know anybody.
Right.
So I go bombing with him, you know, along the way, you know, I started going to those SK parties and I started getting to the bars when I met you. Met him after, you know, like I started meeting more people here, but it was more humble than New York. And like, you know, I've had like what?
It wasn't that bad.
Nah, I've had two beefs the whole time I've been here. I mean, I've had fights, but it was somebody else's beef because
some other shit.
I hate bullies and shit. You know, I mean, niggas will run up on my man Nate, big as fuck as he is, and he'll freeze, and I'm like, fuck that nigga, boom, you know, like, Brooklyn, baby, you know?
Brooklyn, baby.
You ain't hitting my people.
I had that nigga claiming Boston, you know what I mean? Like, he was with it too now, like, I was like, but then I got smarter, you know? I think Colorado helped me a lot, you know, but graffiti saved my life.
Yeah. Well, like you're talking about in Brooklyn, everyone's fucking crazy.
Yeah,
and then when you moved here, not everyone is crazy, but you had two motherfuckers that were crazy that were talking about that you start running with doing shit. It was with Coz and Preach.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really graph though. Mm-hmm.
Just knucklehead shit.
Yeah, I don't. You know Coz, so right. He ain't having it. A little alcohol in that brother, and he down.
Right.
He don't want to hear nobody's shit. He King Coz, you know. Preach, on the other hand, he was more mellow, but I'm the Denver King, you know. So that fool was. The minute you get him there, it's on, you know what I mean? And, Preach is the one that hit the dude. But it happened by it happened at Benny Blanco's, in front of Benny Blanco's, when we was at the bar.
At the pizza spot, at the Snake
Pit? Yeah, at the Snake Pit. And then we end up going to $2 Tuesdays, because it was ladies' night.
You said you had a couple run-ins at the Snake Pit, huh?
Oh, man.
That used to be the spot.
Yeah, I love that place.
Yeah, talk about the Snake Pit.
Man, I miss that place. I got 86 out of that place every week. But what was his name?
Ethan.
God, that guy loved me. I met him in Boston. He was going to MIT. It was weird because I met him in a plane, this dude with dreads. And coming to Colorado and fucking see this dude with dreads, like, oh, shit, I know you, dog. He's like, yeah, we met in the... I'm like, oh, shit, that was cool. That was before the drugs.
Right.
And I used to hang out there. I mean, like, one day I had some dude claiming white power to me. And it was... What was that? Vanessa, the bartender?
Shit,
the rockabilly chick, remember?
I don't remember.
She was super hot. She was like a blonde chick. And she's trying to like move me away. And I was like, all right. So I moved and he would move right next to me. I was with my boy Matt Google. That was I guess he was the head AP, remember, for Ogden.
Yeah.
So I was with Matt and the dude kept telling him, Matt's like, yo, Rob, just move over. And I was like, all right, I'm gonna move over. Finally, that nigga called me a spick. I turned around, I pushed his chair back and fucking gave it to him right in the mouth as he was falling. Keep giving him. And then dude wouldn't come back up, so I started kicking him. And then I ran out the back door, smoked a cigarette. I came back in the front. Cops came asking, like, what was the cameras? And Ethan's like, there's no cameras here, you know? Like,
right.
What do you want me to do? And everybody was, Vanessa's like, I really like you. I'm like, you want a drink on me? You know, like,
let me get you another one.
Yeah, she was, I can't believe you just whooped that dude's ass in front of me and you didn't want to stop. My leg got crampy. That's why I stopped kicking his head in, you know? Like, what the fuck? Why would this dude talk to me? Like, some dumb shit, you know? Talk about he spent 13 years in jail. Like, I don't give a fuck with that shit. Like, I grew up in Brooklyn.
Right. Hey, some people do that. They come in the party and they think they could just, you know, be the Mr. Tough Guy.
Yeah, don't act tough.
Yeah, no. Yo, I got so much shit in Snake Pit, though.
Yeah. That shit, that place is crazy.
It had probably the best music. For cheap, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
$3 rum and cokes and good music. And then that whole vibe. And then you get your slice of pizza. You don't even have to leave the bar, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
Right through the window and shit.
That's the way I found out about it. I moved back to Denver from Vegas and moving Capitol Hill and just having to see Benny Blanco's with the pizza and went on there on a Friday night and they were bumping Far Side and some other fucking tribe and shit. And I was like, the fuck? So I was like,
yeah, she was moving.
Went next door real quick, saw what was up, and before you know, we're throwing shows there, and you know.
Yeah, she got clear. I remember Two Live Crew in there. 13 Heads came up for that.
I wasn't there, but I know what you're talking about.
It was crazy.
Two Live exactly. Crew.
Yeah.
Yo, we had Master Ace in there. We can't even get people to get drinks and shit, you know? Then they had Two Live Crew, 13 Heads, and I told Ethan, like, what are you thinking, dog? And I was like, it's Two Live Crew, bro.
Right, what the fuck?
They were calling girls so they could dance on their shows. I remember they couldn't even find girls. It was so funny.
That's crazy.
But it was a good place.
No, it was dope. Ethan used to let us take a gang of liquor in there. He wouldn't really trip on anything, you know?
Yeah, you know, we had no money.
As long as, you know.
We ain't going to pay the bar anyway.
As long as we didn't trip, you know? Yeah, too bad. No.
It happened once in a while, man. Yeah, my boy Nate, man, he was fun. He used to take me all the bars out here. We was one in, like, over there in,
Is he talking about Chances?
I think it was Chances.
Right? It was right there.
Yeah, yeah.
By Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah. And they were giving us pictures for the price of this PBR. They were giving us pictures of PBR for cup prices. So I never drank beer before.
Right.
So I started getting like a bubble on my throat from PBR. I never had that. And I was freaking out. Thought something was wrong with me, you know? And then I think it was that, what was that fool's name? Gnome. He was there. And somebody was trying to start a fight with Gnome. And I remember I got mad, so my bubble went away. So I was really happy, you know? And then the dude was like, this dude's big, you know? And Gnome was way bigger than him. And I was like, yo, fight, homie. Like, you know, like, if you hit him, I got you, you know?
Yeah, right.
And then it happened. So I let the guy leave the bar, and I waited until he hit, like, where the car was and ran up on him and started beating his ass, you know? I was like, pick on the little guy now, motherfucker. And I was like, the only reason I had to do that was this cute girl that was bartending. And I had to be smart about it, you know? So I ran up in there, pa-pa-pa, went inside. You know, I thought nobody noticed it. No, they had cameras. Yeah. Fools were like, yo, that's a good fight, guy. You know, I go, like, yeah, guy, you know? As everybody used to say back then, yo, bud, that was a good one, bud. I'm like, fuck you saying?
Wow.
Yeah, it was like one of my last
that's
funny
the Denver
ones.
Lingo, bud.
Right.
I didn't know it, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, we call me a bud. You know?
Like, that's funny, dog. Like, now that you point, I know I got it, but yeah, that's bud, hilarious, bro.
I didn't know any of that.
Right.
You know, Fool Coles used to be like, dun dun. You know, he was like, yeah, thank you. Like, better than bud, you know?
Dun
dun. Hey, talk about craziness. You said, you're talking about earlier about carrying the hammer around, or what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I still do. So when I started, like, rolling by myself back home,
always.
I had one homie that was a DCEP, and I had this other homie that we used to go to high school together, and they carry hammers. Yeah. And I almost got jumped on
like
the train
kind of hammer,
for
just
a jacket.
Like regular?
Oh, no, nah, claws, big hammers.
Oh, okay.
You know, 18 ounce. I got my weight. They're like guns, you know? 18 ounce. 18 ounce, I could break somebody's jaw. It was with it, you know? So we're going to high school, Guy Brewer Boulevard. So it's like August Martin. So hood school, you know what I mean? And I'm the only, that's like three Latin kids that look white, you know what I mean? So you take the cheese bus, you're asking to get jumped, you know? So I would take the train with the homies. But then one day these dudes ran up on us. We went to see the Batman movie, one of those Batman and Robins and shit, you know? Cut school. And these dudes ran up on them. My man just pulled out a hammer and started bashing them, you know? Now, like, yeah, I never thought, you know, that's cool, you know? And then, you know, I was like 16, and I was like, I could do that, you know? And then I remember, so when we used to go out of school, one time this dude tried to run with my backpack. I just took the back of the hammer out the side of his head. Fool went flying. I'm like, yeah, this is way better than punching, you know? Dude hit the floor and shit. And my man's like, yo, come on, get in here, you know, so we run. Just, that was the thing, you know, I was like, nobody touched me that day, so I felt a little braver, so I started carrying hammers and shit. And other people did too, but it was just that, it was personal to me. My uncle knew about it, you know what I mean? I was like 100 pounds, so he was just like, yeah, it's cool, you know, like, it wasn't like I was looking for fights with it, but when the times come, I will hold that shit with my fist and hit him, you know? So it wasn't just the same with the whole hammer. Sometimes I just hold it, but it hurt more than my fist would. So it started ending a lot of drama for me and shit too. So everybody like, yo, that nigga crazy. But I wasn't.
I got a hammer.
I was just scared. So I did what I
got
to do. So
you 7:30, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. My mom says so. I mean, I've been to Building J once in Kings County, you know, and my mom had to get me out. That's the crazy building in Brooklyn. And but no, it was just that. I was small, and I couldn't fight. You know, my uncle put me in boxing school, you know? My uncle, Ralphie, puts me in boxing school so I could man up and learn how to box and shit. So I learned to box, and sadly, the first person I had to beat up with my boxing skills was my uncle, Ralphie, you know what I mean? He gave me a scar on my face for that shit. 2x4, 8 times, you know?
Damn,
but
bro.
I beat his ass, you know what I mean? And he was saying it. I regret it, motherfucker. You know, like I'm beating him, you know? I cut both of his eyes. And, you know, I was just young. And I think my family was more my enemy than the streets were, because if I ever needed anybody, it'd be the streets that had my back. And that's why I'm blessed. And I got a lot of respect for Williamsburg and Bushwick. Those two places, to me, are heaven and shit. When I walk there, I show niggas with pride. Even if I took a beating, I got a beating right there, homie. And I love that beating. You know why, homie? Because nobody fucked with me over that beating. You know why? Because the next day, I got my homies and gave it right back to them. See how they like it. I had a hammer. Yeah. You know? And it hurts. And people hit me with bats. I had shit. One time I got jumped with fools with shovels. To like,
but
fucking.
This all happened in New York. This yeah, yeah. Okay.
I don't have none of this shit happen here. I'll hear niggas talk. Yeah. Once in the blue, it turns into altercation verbally. And, you know, I'm not as crazy as your crew. You know, them niggas hold it down. But when I had to fight, I fight, you know what I mean? And I would run up on somebody and handle mine. Yeah. But it's just that now that I'm older and shit, it's not I regret any of that shit. It's just the fact that I don't want my kids to live that life and shit.
Right.
In the last 3 years, I lost so many friends over drugs and stupidities and suicide. Yeah. And, you know, out of one of them, my man Pac, he passed away. Shortly after that, his son killed himself. You know, and that left an impact. You know, I don't talk about it a lot to people, but I tell my kids about it, you know? It's like, I don't ever want to die because, you know, I used to tell my kids, I had this thing, you know, I got divorced and all this crap, and I felt like my kids would have been better off with their mom because their mom, you know, she's a better person than me. I never thought that I could just change my whole life. Fuck it, you know, just change my life and be a better dad, you know? So that's what I did. So I put graph, I put everything on the side. I said, fuck this. You know, I used to tell my kids, I'm your only dad. You know, and I was like, you know, I might not be the best dad, I'm the only dad. And I said, fuck that, I'm going to change that shit too. I'm going to be the best dad I could ever be. So now I changed this. I have my son Wawa, his name is Reps Holden. He's like my best friend, you know what I mean? Because when all this beef happened with my ex-wife, he was the only nigga that was standing next to me. The only motherfucker that had my back. That's why I don't fuck with people no more. No friends, nobody called me, nobody checked on me. My son had my back. So you know what I do now? I only have his back, you know what I mean? I make bread and shit, I break bread with him. Fuck everybody else, you know what I mean?
Is this the son that's in New York?
Or no, this is the one here. Yeah. My big one's cool too. He just got diagnosed with MS. And I'm not the best dad with him when I was a dude, but I feel like I owe him so much. So I call him and ask him, and I send him money if he needs it. You know, but, you know, I just came home, you know, from visiting him and helping him out a little, you know, trying to find out how can I help him. And I don't know how to help because I don't understand the situation, you know? But all he had to do was call me, tell me to come home, and I'm there.
Right.
Same thing with my mom. This is the best thing I could do. The things I couldn't do before, I do it now. But the only reason I do it is because I'm a better person. Because now I could do things that I could have never done before, and I hate myself for that. You know, it's like I blame myself because I could have been this years ago.
But it just matters that you're doing it now.
I just grew up late, man. And I apologize to my mom. She didn't even want to hear it, you know?
You're doing it now, bro.
Yeah, bro.
My mom and me is cool now, you know, and like I do whatever I could for her. And the same thing, my mom called me, she said, well, I'm there the next day. And I don't even know how I could do this shit. I never was able to do anything for anybody. You know, when that lady passed away that took me in, I didn't even know, I can never even repay her for all the good deeds she did for me. Yo, one time I had to carry this lady to use the bathroom because she lost her sight. And she thanking me. So I'm trying to hold her back, you know, I'm like kind of small, you know. I'm holding her back so she can't see my teeth, touch them, you know? And I'm all shaking, taking her to the bathroom, you know? And my sister always tells me, Mom sees that shit. Don't worry about it. Mom sees that shit. You know, I bought a house here. You know, I have stuff. You know, yeah. Not just sneakers anymore, you know what
right.
I mean? Yeah, I had all these sneakers and nothing. I had no home, no car, nothing. Now I have sneakers, heart, you know, kids. I got kids that actually want to be with me and shit.
That's
and,
dope, bro.
You know what I mean? So it's changed, like, I don't know, because I don't find life funny anymore, you know what I mean? Everybody with these memes and all that shit, I don't find none of that shit funny anymore. I don't find chancleta jokes funny, because them shits burn when you were little, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking those, I still got rug burns from that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
my
yeah.
Mom's dragging you, I'm whooping your ass with it. That's not funny, nigga, that shit burn. You know, but these niggas laugh about it because they never had it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, they never had a mom that boxed you and shit to teach you not to be a pussy and shit. Mm. That's what I learned from that shit. My mom didn't hit me because I was a pussy. My mom beat me so I can't be a pussy, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And nobody's ever, to this day, hit me harder than my mom. I've seen the lights. My mom, she sucked Jesus out of me, you know what I mean? I was saved and shit. No nigga. 8 niggas jumped me. I never even got hurt like that before. My mom gave me easier black eyes than this nigga with 20 punches, and she still can't cut me, you know?
Yeah.
This is like, I don't know. But now I have my kids, and I teach them. And the bigger one, I got him in karate school. You know, he had one fight. And I cost it, you know what I mean? Just because I don't want my son to be a pussy, yeah. So I try to tell him. And it's not that he ain't a pussy. That's a really bad word to use in this sense. Yeah. But it's Aaron, I want him to know he knows that he's a man too. Yeah. And they only get, sometimes you get respect is by earning that shit. Yeah. And I hear this, you know, the streets and schools, you know, some of these kids still follow that those rules. So this kid tried to call my son a name, and my son's eyes was watery and shit, and I'm walking with him, and I'm like, yo, dog, are you all right? And he's like, so-and-so called me this. And I'm like, yo, fuck that nigga. Just handle your shit. And he was like, oh, no. I was like, yo, nigga.
Hey, let's take it. Let's pause real quick. You know what I'm saying? Because we got part two coming up, and we'll be right back.